Welcome to the University of New Hampshire School of Law podcast, where every week our professors give legal insight on important news topics. Learn more about the law school by visiting law.unh.edu. Associate Dean Michael McCann, a resident sports law expert, will be discussing Ohio State's decision not to fire Urban Meyer from a legal perspective. Please note, opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or host and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire. Starting off with the basics, who is Urban Meyer and what misconduct did Ohio State discover he committed?
Sure. So he is arguably one of the top two coaches in all of college football. Nick Saban would be the other sort of top coach in the sport. This is someone that is considered at the very top of the game in terms of recruiting, in terms of in-game strategy. So he's a huge deal in college sports. And the Ohio State controversy stems from not Meyer, but from an assistant coach named Zach Smith, who had coached with Meyer back in Florida years ago. And during that time, he had a domestic violent incident with his wife. And that led to a police encounter that had its own history that that looked like there was not an advancement of a charge, perhaps because of influence from certain third parties. Nonetheless, Meyer goes on to coach at Ohio State, and he brings Zach Smith along with him to the coaching staff. And Smith continues to have issues that are connected to domestic violence. You know, what exactly happened? That there remains some debate about that, but clearly issues with his wife and allegations of pretty awful mistreatment of his wife. And during this time, he retained his job. And that's really the thrust of the story, is that to what extent did the coaching staff, to what extent did the athletic office and university leadership, I mean, it goes beyond an athletics issue. This is really about university employees and what are the consequences of allegations of serious misconduct and what are the responsibilities of the university? Can the university say, well, this is a police matter, this didn't occur on campus, so this isn't our responsibility? Well, you know, the problem with that for the university is that the university has a conduct policy.
Yeah, just like every other university.
Just like every other university, where the answer isn't, well, this isn't our problem. I mean, a lot of things are universities, fall under the university's domain. And here there was a sexual abuse, misconduct policy that was pretty sweeping in terms of what it entails. It isn't just sexual assault. It goes far beyond that into allegations of misconduct that would seem to apply here. And a report was issued, a quote-unquote, an independent report, whether it's independent can be debated, but the report found a lot of fault, that certain individuals didn't take appropriate steps. And that's and the consequence of that is that Meyer gets suspended for 3 games, athletics director gets suspended for 3 games or 3 weeks, and the university continues to deal with the fallout.
Oh, what happened with Smith?
The coach was fired.
Yeah.
So he is now, as far as I can tell, not working. He also divorced. He and his wife divorced as well. But the fact that he was on the coaching staff while some of these things happened, should that have occurred? You know, to what point do you let a coach go just because there's a totality of allegations and in some cases some evidence that would suggest that this person has behaved really wrongfully?
Now, why did Ohio State opt for suspension over firing of Meyer?
Yeah, that's a excellent question, and you could answer it in different ways. Some might say it's because he's the best or the second best coach in college football, that he's treated differently.
College football is worth a lot of money.
College football is worth a lot of money, and that program generates millions and millions of dollars. I mean, depending upon what metric you use, you're looking at a program that's clearly incredibly lucrative to the school. And you have to wonder if the same set of circumstances existed and the coach was the volleyball coach or the track coach, would there be a 3-game suspension or would there be a firing? So there's that. Then there's the legal side of it, which is he has a contract. And if he's fired without cause, then he is owed the remainder of his contract. If he's fired with cause, then he would argue that this is a wrongful firing, that it's a breach of contract.
And that'll be one expensive lawsuit.
And that would be one very expensive lawsuit, because also, you know, what does he know? I mean, that's really, and I don't want to use the word dangerous too lightly, but when you have an employee that's been there for years, who has had a high ranking position, that person has a lot of institutional knowledge. And it's clear that in this fact pattern, multiple people didn't act as well as they should have. And other people could get fired. If he gets fired, the question is, well, why isn't the athletic director, Gene Smith, fired as well? I mean, maybe the university president should be fired. Once you fire one person, who that person reported to, you could argue that person should bear responsibility as well. So the suspension, I think, reflects his prominence, his success, and also the fallout of firing him with cause, at least, would be pretty substantial.
Do we know how much longer he has on his contract?
A few more years. And
so it's not like he's got another 6 months that they're he's
a multi-year deal that will likely just continue for a while, because this controversy will probably at some point fade, assuming it doesn't get worse for the school. It might. But if he returns and wins games, I think the university will be fairly tolerant of him. Now, maybe it shouldn't. Maybe it should send a stronger message and say we have zero tolerance for things like this. But so far, the university isn't taking that approach.
This really seems to me similar to like a large corporation with, like, we got this high up vice president executive that knows all the ins and outs of the company, only it's a school, which makes it look a little below board a little bit.
He knows things about, presumably, you know, the emails that he has, the records, the text message. I mean, who knows who he's been in contact with in terms of not only this controversy, but any controversy. You know, this is somebody that's been on the top of the game. And there's a fallout when you fire someone like that, at least with cause. Because if you're firing them with cause, you're saying that the university is relieved of paying out the remainder of the contract. To fire him without cause means you just pay him out. That's not nearly as controversial. But then the university is paying millions of dollars for somebody that's not working there.
I'd imagine this would cause issues with how effective the code of conduct is going forward. It'd be interesting to see what happens with that.
Yeah, it's a really good question, because certainly other employees that are now disciplined or fired on grounds of the code of conduct could say, well, wait a second.
He just got a 3-game suspension.
I realize I'm not a superstar college football coach, but why is my misconduct triggering a firing, whereas someone more prominent, that person's misconduct only triggered a fairly modest suspension? That may not be a legal claim, but it certainly raises a moral issue of why someone is treated a certain way.
Facts to unions pop in my mind.
probably, yeah. I mean, they could argue that, this is a double standard.
Be sure to check out all of Professor McCann's articles on sportsillustrated.com and follow him on Twitter at McCann Sports Law. Thanks for listening to the show. Get the back episodes at law.unh.edu/podcast. Which also has links to subscribe to the show and all your favorite podcast services, including Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or host and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire.